I'll never forget the morning my mother died. She was 83 years old. Great woman of God. I mean, just a tremendous woman of God. Loved God, went to church, taught us the Word of God, prayed over us, everything, all the time. What a sweetheart. But my sister was sitting there. She got to feeling real weak, and she wanted to go over to the nursing home in Goldslate. So my sister moved her over there into a room in a nursing home. And so now she's really got help. You know, nurses come by and check on her several times a day. Well, my sister was sitting there that morning at about 7 o'clock. She come early and just talking to Mom. And she said, all of a sudden, Mom just kind of closed her eyes and dozed off. And so I just quit talking, let her sleep. And said, all of a sudden, said, there was words begin to come out of my mother's mouth. She said, Lord, I am ready to come home. I am ready for you to come get me. And my sister's listening to this. And then all of a sudden, the lady with the breakfast was coming down the hall, and Mother says, oh, Lord, I smell coffee and bacon and eggs. She said, Lord, I want to have breakfast before I come home. So she opened her eyes. She opened her eyes, and the girl come in and set the little deal over her bed. And my sister said, my mother eat about half of a scrambled egg. She eat half of a piece of toast. She drink about a half or maybe of a cup of coffee. And then she laid back there and closed her eyes and said, Lord, I've had breakfast. I'm ready to come home. And my mother went home just like that. She just died right there. Now, was God right there with her the whole time? Yes, he was. She was 83 years old. And at her request, he took her home. He took her out of this world. But it says here, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. That's why we need somebody to help us. You know, so that's why God sent me a young wife. See, I'm an older guy and she's a young woman. So when I get old, she can take care of me. See, that's not the way it works, is it, honey? We take care of each other, don't we? Yes, we do. We take care of each other. Praise God. Verse 11 and 12. And on a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other. But how can one be warm alone? I will have to say, that's one thing about Cheryl. She can go in there and go to bed. If she goes to bed before I do in the wintertime, she has got everything in the world on. I mean, she's got blankets and everything else. And I go crawl in bed with her and snuggle up beside her. And she says, wow, you're hot as a fire. You know, she said, whoa, she started throwing off covers. She said, you're the hottest man I ever seen in my life. You're so warm. She said, I just touch you and you're hot. Well, now, if our blood is running through us like that, and it's running like it should, God's pumping that blood. There's a lot of heat generated in your body. And, you know, and so, of course, when there's two of us snuggled up together, it's easy to stay warm. You know, in fact, I will tell you that when God brought me and Cheryl together a few years ago, that first night we were having our first date. Now, this is after God told us to get married. You know, I wasn't looking for a wife. She wasn't looking for a husband. But after God told us to get married, he literally told her to marry me and told me to marry her. And then when I went to her and asked her to marry me, she accepted because she had heard God's voice just like I had. And so a week later, we had our first date. We hadn't had a date, nothing, never. So a week later, we was out at a little Mexican restaurant. After that night was over, Cheryl and I was sitting out front out there in her car just talking, you know, and I don't know nothing about her and she don't know nothing about me. So if I'm going to marry this woman, I'd like to know something about her, you know. And so we're just talking about each other and we sat there till 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, that sounds like a couple of teenagers, doesn't it? You know, but we're just talking. I don't know nothing about her and she don't know nothing about me. We're in her Suburban, a great big old island in the middle of that thing. So she's sitting on her side. I'm sitting on the other side. It's her car. And all of a sudden, she reached about 4, and she starts the car up. I said, what are you cranking the car for? She said, well, my feet are cold, and I need some heat. I said, but it's not cold outside. I said, have you had this problem long? She said, all my life. She said, my daddy was like this. I said, oh, all your life you've had this, and your daddy's like that? I said, you know that they spoke a curse over you? She said, I didn't know that. I said, you don't have to be like that. I said, would you like to have warm feet? Well, she said, of course, I've had it all my life. And so I said, well, okay. I just said, Father, I said, kick those feet over the console there and let me have them. I want to caress them. And so she just took her shoes off and swung her legs over the console. And I grabbed her feet and ankles and I began to caress them and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, you said in Matthew 18, 19, if two of us on earth agreed about anything, you'll do it for us. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirits that's causing the blockage in her arteries and that's causing her feet to be cold and not have the proper circulation. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to open those arteries and those veins and let the proper blood flow through those legs so her feet will be warm. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, do you agree with me, Cheryl? She said, well, of course I do. I said, well, let's say thank you, Father, for giving me warm feet. She said, thank you, Father, for my warm feet. And immediately in my hands, them cold eyes feet turned nice and warm. And guess what? When she jumps in bed with me and throws those feet against me, they're not cold. They're warm. So isn't it amazing what we can do? When God says, pray about how many things? What do you think he meant? Do you think God will hear if we... Now, he only hears when we're obedient. When we're obedient and do what he says and we know his promises and we walk in obedience to his word, then the king says, we can ask for anything and he'll do it. So it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but if two can stand back to back and conquer, but three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now then, if I was having to fight a battle, I often said when I was in the military, when some girls wanted to get in, I'd never wanted a woman at my back. You know, I want another man, and if we got three of us, I want a man, and a man. I do not want a woman, because I know how sentimental and how whatever women are. You know, in other words, a woman might have a gun in her hand, and maybe she's been trained, but if a guy jumps around a corner and says he's going to kill her, instead of killing him first, she might throw down her gun and, you know, whatever. You know, it all depends on what her emotions are like at the time. You know, you ever notice women have this up and down thing? You've noticed that? Sometimes they're solid as a rock. Other times they're as unstable as anything you've ever seen. And so you just have to learn to live with that with girls because that's the way God made them. But men ain't like that. So if I'm going to be in a battle, you know, if I'm going to have to fight, I want two men standing by my side. The girls need to be over here somewhere all hunkered down together. You know, they need to be not in the front. I don't believe he made girls to fight. I think he made girls to love. You don't agree with that? Yeah. The guys are supposed to be the one that does the fighting, not the girls, you know. So, I mean, if you're with me, I'm going to send you girls over here. If something happens, I'm going to send y'all over here and put you in the most protected place I can. Then I'm going to stand the battle in front for y'all. You know, if they get through me, then, hey, there's something else. But, you know, I'm not going to be the one that's going to run like the coward. I'm going to be there defending you. But it says if there's three of us, a triple braided cord is very hard to break. Okay, next one, now 13 and 14. It is better to be a poor but wise youth than to be an old and foolish king who refuses all advice. Now, do we know people that once they get older, they know everything, you can't tell them nothing? Yeah, there's some people like that, you know. But listen to what they have to say, because the one thing I've learned, everybody you meet is your master at something. Yeah, that little bitty young person, they may come in and tell you something that you've known 1,000 times over, but the next time they come in, they may tell you something you don't know. And it may only be 8 or 10 years old. So it's amazing. Such a youth could come from prison and succeed. He might even become king, though he was born in poverty. We know one just like that right now, don't we? He's our president right now. I mean, he came out of poverty. Now then, verse 15 and 16. Everyone is eager to help such a youth, even to help him take the throne. He might become the leader of millions and be very popular, but then the next generation grows up and rejects him. So again, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. So the next generation that raises up, he may make all kinds of rules and do all kinds of things and change things. And then praise God, if we'll get back and repent of our sins and serve God, God says, then if you, my people, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven, then I will heal your land. And so when that happens, he may have raised up this guy, which is doing everything, as far as I think, wrong. I mean, you think about what's going on in Washington right now. I'm not just talking about Obama. I'm talking about the whole administration in Washington right now. Senators, congressmen, Supreme Court justices, all of them are rotten to the core. I mean, they all need, we need to move every one of them out and put in some new ones. Now they said, but they wouldn't know what they're doing. They got to be able to do a better job than these guys. You know, at least if they've read the Constitution. In fact, I think it would be wonderful if we never let a man be in any of those offices more than two terms. Maybe only one, but never more than two. You know, so they get too much power after they've been in there three or four terms. They know too many people. They learn how the system works, and they learn how to do devastating things. Okay, now then from here, I want us to go to John 14:12-17. I want to show you in the New Testament what God promised. Since we didn't have any kind of comforter in the Old Testament, but let's see what we got in the New Testament as children of God. Providing, of course, we walk in obedience to His Word. All these promises that we're going to talk about in the New Covenant is totally based upon obedience. We have to obey God. He says in John 14:12, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, you don't hardly find anybody in church that believes that promise. Look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I think about these promises when we learn how to stand on those, just like that story Cheryl told you a while ago. 4 weeks ago, when we went to her mother's funeral, that cousin or second cousin or whatever it was, that they told us that he couldn't come to the funeral because he'll be dead this week. He's going to die this week. And Cheryl said, good grief, let's pray. And now here's the casket sitting right here. And Cheryl gets several of her girls over here, and they're all standing in front of that casket praying for that cousin. Isn't that something? 4 weeks later, he's not dead yet. He is much better, and he's eating on his own. Now, what made the difference in that boy's life? Those girls' prayer of faith. I mean, God says there that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, see, here's what happens. If you get two or three or four people like that to pray, and then you walk up and say, well, what are y'all praying for? Well, Cheryl's got a cousin here that's in the hospital saying he ain't going to live through the week. And we're praying for him. Well, what do you think God's going to do? Well, I sure hope that this guy gets well.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Comforter Lives in You, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.